Well, good morning. As you go ahead and grab your seats, our volunteers are going to receive the offering. And so if you have something to give, go ahead and put it in there. And if not, that's fine. And I want to welcome you guys. It's a big day. Got a lot going on. Today feels like the official kind of start of our summer. It's week two with our freshmen who have just recently been promoted. Yeah, give it up for them. There we go. Some of us are excited about you guys. The rest will catch on. But it kind of feels like the official start of summer. I don't think that summer actually starts for technically for five more days. I think it's the 22nd. Not entirely certain. But there are 58 of you and 12 leaders who are going to actually, I'm sorry, 68 of you and 12 leaders who are going to meet here at 9 o'clock tonight, get on a bus and a couple of vans. We're going to head down to the beach. And so it feels kind of like the official start of summer for me. We're glad that you guys are here this morning. Thank you for getting up and getting here. I feel like it's one of the greatest things to look out and to see high school students who said, hey, I could have slept in this morning, but I decided, or maybe my parents encouraged me to get out of bed. To throw on some clothes and to get here. And so I'm grateful for that, and I'm grateful for you guys. And so I want to pray for us this morning. This past week has been another week in the 2018 school year and into summer now that's just been tough. And so I would love to just pray for us, to ask for God's peace in our lives, that we would feel his presence more now than ever else. And so let's pray. Father God, I thank you for today. I thank you for who you are. Father, that we can declare that we are children of yours, Lord, and that we don't just declare that as empty words, but we declare that as the truth that you have given us through your words, that when we encounter you through the person of your Son, Father, that we can say that we are children of the God of the universe and that we can have a relationship with you. So, Father, it's my prayer that this morning that we would encounter you through your Spirit, that your Spirit would pierce our hearts. And Father, we would understand what you've called us to do and that we would go and we would do it. Father, I pray that you would use me this morning, that you would use me as your instrument, Father, to bring you glory. And if it's for me to look as a fool, Father, I pray for that. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you have done for us and how your love is just overwhelming. Father, that you would send your Son here to save us, not when we deserved it, but when we needed it. So God, I thank you. Be with us this morning. Give us your comfort. Give us your peace. Allow us to feel your love being showered down upon us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So today, really want to look into Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And if I can be completely honest with all of you, I was really struggling with what to present today. I was really just struggling. I didn't know. And for me, it's these moments where I have to fully rely on God through the Holy Spirit to kind of reveal to me, to open my mind to what he has. And it was one of those this week where, like, even last night, I was talking to Emily and we were driving home from a grad party and she goes, do you know what you're going to talk? I go, I have no idea. I have no idea. I don't know what God wants me to talk about. And so it was last night, we went to bed, and I set my alarm for early this morning. I got in here, and I'm just sitting, and I'm saying, hey, God, what is it? What do you want me to share with students, with families? What are you speaking to my heart this morning? And I'm flipping through my Bible, looking for inspiration. And for me, it was funny because oftentimes I try and do so much. I'm flipping through my Bible, looking through old notes and just looking for inspiration. And truly, it's not the moment until I surrender myself and I pray and I say, hey, God, I don't know what I need to do. And it's not until that moment that I come across some scripture, that I feel like it fits where we're at. I feel like it fits where we're at today and coming off of the year that we've had, whether it was like, hey, your best year ever or not, I feel like it applies to our life right now. And so this is Paul writing to the Ephesians, and this is chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. And this is what Paul is writing to the city of Ephesus. He says this, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Verse 7 goes on to say this, "So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." So as I'm reading through this, it just reminds me. It reminds me of where we're at. It reminds me of where we've been and maybe where some of us currently are, but it also points ahead to where we're going. But as I'm reading that and I'm reflecting on just everything that's happened, it brings me to an understanding of today and where we are with this message, that we all have to understand that we're living in a sense of urgency. We need to be living our lives with a sense of urgency. And we have to understand that what is in front of us isn't something that we just can just wait for it to come, but we need to chase after it. We need to pursue it, and we need to pursue it with a sense of urgency, like we are chasing after it to earn it and to get it right now, to bring it to fruition. And it reminds me, like tonight, like for those of us who are getting ready to go to beach camp, there's a sense of urgency for me because I haven't packed a single thing. You know what I mean? Like, I've been so focused on the whole group that I have not been focused on myself individually. And so, like, there's a sense of urgency. There's a lot of things that I need to get done by 9 o'clock tonight. I mean, I'm on the clock. I've got 10 hours to get a lot of stuff done. I've got 10 hours to get, like, 20 hours of stuff done. Like, I'm pulling into my driveway last night, and I look, and I'm like, man, I need to mow the grass. You know what I mean? It just needs done. Because I can't see Emily out there with Judas strapped to her chest, like, pushing, doing the mower. And Finley and Colton, like, chasing behind her. Like, that needs to be done. And like I said, I've got to pack. So that means not only do I have to pack, but I have to find the bag that I'm going to pack in. I think I know where it's at, but I'm not certain. And let's be honest, it's never where we first look. And so I got to get all those stuff. Thank God Emily has been preparing. And she's like, hey, just so you know, I took care of the laundry. You should have enough stuff, so I don't have to do that. But there's this sense of urgency. I'm like, I got to get all these things together. And then I'm planning to drive through the night, one of the vans, like all night long. We're going to get here at 9, leave at 10, and we're not going to get into Myrtle Beach until about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, maybe sometime between then and noon. And so, like, I want to take, like, a good solid nap at some point today. You know what I mean? So that, like, I'm not picturing, you know, as I'm driving, I'm not picturing, you know, I don't know, like deer dancing across the street, or like I'm driving over bacon, or I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? I don't know what I'm gonna dream up. But when you're tired, you see things that don't exist, but you assume that they're real. You're like, I just drove over a 10 foot slab of bacon. At least I kept the car on the road. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is. So I've got to, and there's a sense of urgency of like, hey, the time is coming. Like 9 o'clock is coming, whether I'm ready or not. So there's this sense of urgency of all these things that I need to get done to be prepared. And then that reflects on this week. And I don't know where you are this week. I don't know what happened in your life this week, but a couple days ago, I woke up to some just crazy news that someone from our church family that many of you may have known or known siblings of this family had passed away, 20 years old. And I hear this and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is just crazy. It's absolutely crazy. So I go and I connect with my buddy Marshall and we were working out. And as I'm working out, I had my phone on me because I'm like, hey, I want to stay in contact in case so that I can hopefully get some more information and details. And I open up a message from a woman who I used to teach with when we were in Connecticut. She goes, hey, Ryan, I just want to let you and Emily know this news that Corbin Cooper, a student that we had when I was a teacher in Connecticut, she goes, he got in a car accident last night. There was a high-speed chase. He was being pursued by the cops after he had robbed somebody. Got in an accident, and he was killed. And I look at these, and I realize the brevity of life, that it is short. No matter if we live 100 years or if God only blesses us with a handful. And in this moment, there's this sense of urgency that I understand. Whereas I look at these two people, one from our church family and one for a kid who was in sixth grade when I knew him, that are no longer on this earth. And the thing for me, the joy that I can receive from McKenna's passing is that she had a relationship with Jesus. She knew him and she loved him. And so she's no longer on this earth, but what she's doing is she's dancing in heaven with Jesus. And it's my prayer and my hope that it's the same for Corbin, but knowing the life that he lived and knowing the situation that he found himself in, there was a real moment where I was talking with Emily and I go, it breaks my heart because I hope I'm wrong. But every indication points that he is in hell. And I don't think we understand the urgency of this all the time. That every one of us in here will spend eternity somewhere. Every single one of us in here, yourself and me included, we will spend eternity somewhere. And as we look into God's word, as we look into truth, we know it is one of two places. It's either heaven or it's hell. And I think sometimes we get caught up in this life where we don't really understand. Like we believe that eternity is not quite as long as we, you know, it might be made out to be. But eternity, like, I can't explain it to you, but it's forever. And so I look at this and it's like the urgency of the gospel, the urgency of the hope that exists in the person of Jesus Christ is more relevant to me right now than it has ever been in my entire life. And I hope that you all can feel that too. I mean, the reality is as we walk through our lives every single day interacting with people who know Jesus or who do not know Jesus. We know who we walk by people every single day that their eternity is going to be spent in heaven. And there are people that we interact with that if they don't see the truth of who Jesus is, their eternity will be spent in hell. And so we have to understand that there is a sense of urgency. And Paul paints this incredible picture for us of what life was like for all of us, what the reality of our existence was for all of us before Jesus, and what our hope can be because of Jesus. And so Paul is writing, and he says, verses 1 through 6, he says this, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the powers of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. This is the reality that each and every one of us have lived in if we know Jesus, if we have received the gift of grace and the gift of salvation from him. This is where we used to live. If you are finding yourself in a place today where you go, I've never entered into a relationship with Jesus, I'm sorry, but the truth and the reality is this is the life that you're living in right now. And I'm sorry if this is your first time and you're like, this is, you know, you're leaning over to your friend and like, I was not expecting this. But this is the reality of where we're at. Like, you're one of two places. You have a real intimate, personal relationship with Jesus where you're pursuing him. And you can say, I know what my eternity is secure because of Jesus. Or you say, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I don't know. And the reality is, those who don't have a relationship with Jesus are living this type of life, living by the flesh, carrying out your own desires of your body and your mind, and you are known as children of wrath like the rest of mankind. This is our reality. For those who don't know Jesus, there is no hope in this world. We think we can see it, we think we can pursue it, but as we get closer to it, it's called the fleeting pleasures of the world. We get closer to it and we realize that it was a mirage and it disappears. Before we know Jesus, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, anything in front of you is pure hopelessness with the exception of Jesus. Paul goes as far to say, you were dead in the trespasses and sins of which you once walked. We are dead. If you were in Pastor Mike's message, he spoke to this. Like not just like just earthly death, but like death for all of eternity. Hopeless death. The cool thing about that though is there's a solution to that. Paul doesn't finish this section of scripture right there. He continues in verse 4. But, thank you God for that but. That was my reality, that was my situation, but God goes, but. There is a solution. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Death, hopelessness, nothing, just an eternity of just torment. But God, he loved us so much, and he's rich in mercy. Because he loved us, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, I don't think we grasp that all the time. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, even though we lived in a way, even though we continually live in a way where we are in direct opposition to God, even then, because he is rich in mercy and because he loves us so incredibly much, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Understand the reality of that. Understand the reality of who Jesus is and what he has done for us. We were dead. But because of what he has done for us, by grace, we have been saved. I mean, I've said this before in here, but grace, it's hard for us to fully understand what grace is. It is getting what we don't deserve when we deserve something entirely different. I've said it before, and I heard this analogy, and I like it because it's about donuts. But it's like a cop. You're flying down the highway, for those of you who drive. Maybe you don't drive. Imagine all of yourselves in a car, and you're going 100 miles down the highway, and you look over in the side, and you see a speed limit sign of 55, and it goes flying by, and you see a cop up ahead, and you say, you know what, forget it, I'm just tearing through. And you keep going 100, and the cop sees you, and he pulls out, and the sirens are blaring, and the lights are going. You go, okay, I should probably pull over now. So you pull over to the side of the road, and you're sitting there in the car. You go, I know I'm guilty. I broke the law. I did what I was not supposed to do. And here comes the cop to deliver the punishment that I have earned, that I deserve. So the cop walks up. He looks at you, and you look at him. He goes, you go, officer, I know I was wrong. I know that I was wrong. I was going way too fast. I broke the law. I know I was doing the things which I should not do. And he goes, hey, I love you. Here's a donut. You know what I mean? Like that is my best description of grace outside of the confines of who Jesus is. Like to put it in worldly context. Like gave you something you didn't even deserve. Like something that made your life better when you deserved the punishment. And that's what God has given to us through his son, Jesus. That we might be saved by the grace of Christ through his Father. Verse 6 says this, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we look for those first three verses and we realize our reality. This is where we're living. This is the truth of where we're at, hopeless, lost, and just and outright dead. But God happens. Verses 4-6. And we see how he came in and he intervened for us. When we deserved everything that was earned for us in verses 1-3, death was earned. And that's what we deserved. But God. And so we look to verses 4-6. And we see the what. And the what is God's love for us. But God shows his love for us. And then verse 7 is the why. Verse 7 says this, so that, this is why we get to receive that. This is one of the reasons why God did that. So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So that we can continue to live our lives knowing truth and we can continue to point others to the person of Jesus Christ. There is a sense of urgency. We all know people who don't know who Jesus is. And the problem that I've experienced in my life, and I believe that a lot of you have experienced in your life, is you go, we get to this point where we go, well, we'll get around to it. I'll get around to talking to my friends about Jesus. I'll get around to asking my mom or my dad the hard questions because I notice that they don't have a relationship with Jesus. You know, my boyfriend and my girlfriend, they don't know Jesus, and I know I shouldn't be dating them, but we'll get around to that. I'll get around to it. And what we've identified from this week is that we can't expect and guarantee that tomorrow's happening. There's a sense of urgency that we must live our lives and that we must pursue Jesus and that we must pursue others for Jesus with. There's a sense of urgency that we are not living our lives with. That I am the first most of this. As I look at my life, I go, I am not living with a sense of urgency. And I think if we really identify and look at our lives, we go, you're probably not living that way either. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of the grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. I mean, it's free gift. It's a free gift. What we need, not what we deserve. Free gift. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. There is nothing that we can do on our own to earn our salvation. I mean, we can identify friends in our lives. We go, man, they live a really good life. You know, they're so kind to people. They always stand up for that person that's getting picked on or bullied. I mean, they're just always like volunteering their time and loving on people. The kindest person I know. But apart from Jesus, we can earn nothing. There's a sense of urgency we need to live our lives with to say, hey, you are living a good life, but you have not gotten it figured out if you don't have a relationship with Jesus. For those of you in here this morning who have been hesitant towards Jesus, like there is a sense of urgency to say, hey, Jesus, I know that I have been living a life against you and I can't do this on my own. I need you to fill the gap that I'm trying to fill that I can't. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not a result. This is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We can't earn it. We just have to receive the free gift of salvation. Verse 10 wraps up this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And this is where it points to those of us who are in Jesus, those of us who have a relationship with Jesus, where we can say, hey, I surrendered my life to Jesus. I'm not going to continue on my own path. I am going to surrender my life to Jesus. I'm going to receive the free gift of salvation. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus and say, I can't do this on my own, Jesus. I need you. I need to come after you because I can't do it. And so verse 10 is speaking to those of us who are in a relationship with Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. For we are his workmanship. He has put all of the things that we need inside of us for those of us who are in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus promised us when we enter into a relationship with him, we will get the greatest helper that we could ever imagine in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit prepares us. It prepares us internally when we're not realizing it. He prepares us out externally as we're engaging with people. He prepares us internally in our hearts and in our minds as we get into God's word and we identify things that the Spirit is calling us to. For we are his workmanship. He is doing a good work in us, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so here's what comes down to. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, we should see works just naturally being created. Not of your own, but that the Holy Spirit is doing inside of you. And this is where it comes to it at the end. I love it. Six words. That we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. That we should walk with a sense of urgency. That we should walk and have a broken heart for our friends who don't know who Jesus is. And we need to say, hey, you know what? God, please open their eyes and please use me to go after them. Please use me. Put me in a position where I can speak truth into their lives. Where they can say, I know that you love me because of the relationship that we have. And that truth might be hard to hear, but it's truth that needs to be said. So that we might walk in them. We need to have a sense of urgency to show people who Jesus is. To show them what he offers. To show them, hey, the things that are good that come from me, they're not mine. It's the work of Jesus, God the Father, through the Holy Spirit in my life. These are not my works. This is all the workings of God. We need to have a sense of urgency. We're pushing people to Jesus. And the problem with it is we get so caught up in our earthly relationships and our what other people think of us, our reputation. And we shy away from opportunities to point people to truth. Guys, heaven is real. So is hell. Every one of us will spend eternity somewhere. For those of us who are in Jesus, we get to spend all of eternity with him. So who are those people in your life that you're just waiting on? Who are those people that you interact with that you go, man, you know what? I love you so much. I just have to tell you this. I love you so much that I just have to tell you this. It's the truth. You may not believe it, but I need to share it with you. And you share it, and you live your life loving them, and your prayer is, God, open their eyes. Father, allow your spirit to penetrate their soul so that it opens up their mind and they see the truth that only exists in your son. We need to have a sense of urgency. I encourage you. I plead with you. And encourage me and plead with me to identify those people in your life and then just pursue them. Be the earthly skin and bones form that is pursuing them, that Jesus is pursuing them in the spiritual realm and pursuing them through his word and pursuing them through the spirit. Be the flesh and bones. Walk it out. As Paul finishes it up, that we should walk in them, in those works. And so plead, say, God, create opportunities for me to pursue those who are lost, to show them who your son really is. Guys, we need to realize that everybody spends eternity somewhere, and that eternity might start sooner than we realize. And so we need to live our lives with a sense of urgency, pursuing Jesus ourselves and allowing what he is teaching us to bear fruit in our lives, to bear works in our lives that others see. And when they ask you about it, you go, it's not me. It's Jesus. We need to live our lives intentionally with a sense of urgency for those who don't know Jesus. Let's pray together. Father God, God, I don't know your plan. I don't fully understand it. But Father, I submit to your will. Whatever it is, Father, we don't fully grasp it, but we trust that your plan is perfect. And it is always on time. It may not be on our time, but it is on your time. And Father, for that, we are grateful. And so, Father, allow us to see your plan where we can. In those areas where we cannot, God, allow our hearts to be okay with that. Father, it's my prayer that we would give our hearts to you, our whole heart. Hold nothing back. Fully pursue you and allow you to point us in the direction of your will, that we would see those around us who are lost, who are living hopeless, dead lives, and that we can point them to you. Father, that we would have a sense of urgency to give ourselves to you first and then give the rest of our lives and the rest of eternity to you as well, trusting in your plan. Father, we give you our heart. We're grateful that you have given us yours. It's in your name we pray. Amen.